بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Answering a doubts and questions and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah who is Ar-Rahman.
Allah
who is Al-Mannan.
La ilaha illa.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I'm Ata, the host of this program. With me in the studio, we have a special guest speaker from the Islamic House of Qom, Shaykh Agha Muhammadi. Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh. Welcome to the show.
Salaam alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Okay, Shaykh Agha Muhammadi, for today's discussion, we want to talk about the rewards for shedding tears for the afflictions on the Ahlul Bayt. And is it more praiseworthy than happiness for them? For example, we have different majalis for the Ahlul Bayt. Some of them are commemorating the martyrdom of the Ahlul Bayt. Some of them, for example, about the birthday anniversary of the Ahlul Bayt. So some of them are sad ones, some of them are happy ones. Now, which one is more valuable, shedding tears for Ahlul Bayt or being happy for them?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alayhi tahirin. What matters as a state of soul is to be remindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we have to see that which state keeps us in better dhikr of Allah and remembrance of Allah. First of all, we have to bear in mind that happiness or sorrow or to be in a kind of grief for Ahlul Bayt or whatever, generally speaking, we cannot say that this one, which one is good or bad. So it depends on the purpose and the reason for these states. If we are we are in the state of happiness for some criminal act we have done, mm-hmm. this is not good.
Okay.
If we are in grief defending an oppressed person, this is great. So happiness and sadness and sorrow, they themselves, they don't matter. What it matters is that what these states are for, what is the cause for these states.
Yes.
And I said the general state is that to be remindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to consider some state of soul to be accepted, to be encouraged and admired. Again, another point, general point is that we have hadiths from Ahlul Bayt, from Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam, that our lovers, our followers are those who are happy in our happiness and they are in sorrow in our sorrows and hardships.
Yes.
So means that they have sympathy with us.
Uh-huh.
And this makes us to be with them. Imam Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha in a hadith says that إِنَّمَا يَجْمَعُ النَّاسِ السَّخَةُ وَالرِّزَى. What makes people to be together, what mm-hmm. makes a community, what makes a society is the matters of like and dislikes.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have the same likes and dislikes with somebody, you are of the same community with them.
Yes.
And then Imam alayhi salam refers to the story of the camel of Saleh alayhi salam. Mm-hmm. And Imam says that one person, one individual killed that camel.
Yes.
But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished the whole city and said, فَعَغَرُوهَا. Agaruha means all of them killed, all city killed the camel, while one person killed the camel. Why all person killed the camel? Because they were happy with what he did. And this is the nature of the likes and dislikes. That. So when you are in the same likes and dislikes with some people, then it should be shown in your life. So when you're happy with some people, when you like some people, then you are happy in their happiness. You are sad in their sadness. When we love our children, in their success we are happy, in their hardships we are in sorrow. The same is Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam.
That's right.
This is the general speaking.
Mm-hmm.
But beside these things, there is something in the nature of happiness and rapture that differs it from the sorrow and sadness. So sadness, it's a, in the normal understanding, it's a, there is a negative tinge in it.
Yes.
So I'm not necessarily talking about that side of sorrow and pain that we have when we have some hardships in the life. Mm-hmm. So when we are crying for Imam Hussein, when you shed tears for Imam Hussein, you know that that nature of sadness and sorrow, the spiritual sadness, yes, is different.
It's
from
different,
the,
that's right.
Like, you know, in the Western literature, they talk about the tragedy and they say, yes, that tragedy is greater than comedy.
Yes. You know?
So this is in the nature of the state that this is more serious. Mm-hmm. And so those who are sort of elites, usually they like the tragedy. They prefer tragedy.
Because there is a kind of catharsis, you know, somehow emitting out the emotions, you know, and then, for example, at the end of this, sadness will be a kind of a rapture inside the heart.
This is more mature, you know, this is more mature. The kids, they like maybe comedy.
Comedy, that's right.
But when you are grown, when you are mature, so when you develop your mind, mm-hmm, then you might not be necessarily satisfied, mm-hmm, with those things. And another point with the sorrows is that when we are usually kind of mindful, we are in wonder, when something serious is there, when something serious is there in your life, you just not, you take it serious. When you are serious, in that serious state, you are not necessarily in a kind of laughing state.
Yes.
You take it serious. You are very mindful. You have wondered that if I make a simple tiny mistake, I'm going to lose. So I have to take it serious. And that kind of joy, being joyous, sometimes may make the human being heedless, careless, and then it causes the fail and failure. In Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it's in Surah Alaq, verse 7, Kalla innal insana layatgha arra'ahu istaghna. Indeed, man becomes rebellious. Man rebels against Allah when he considers himself without need to Allah.
Yes.
You know, this famous statement of Nietzsche, the German philosopher, who said that in modernity we killed God. Mm-hmm. Exactly, that is the translation of this verse of our Quran.
Yes.
That he said, you know, I said in the previous sessions, we talked about the way that you look at the anthropology, the man, and the cosmology that you have around the world, and also the creator. So he says, in the past, we used to consider that we had lots of problems in the life, and we didn't know how to solve them. So we created something as God. So it just gave us a kind of a happiness of mind.
Yes.
And a kind of a relief of the pains. As Karl Marx said that religion is the opium of the mass, mm-hmm, this famous statement of him. It means that for the people, when they are in hardships, when they are in difficulties, religion works like opium. Mm-hmm. It relieves the pain. So,
but it is not necessarily the very opium,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah. Okay. Of course, I mean, Karl Marx is...
Is it a realistic terminology? That's right.
No, okay. I mean, no. He's about to talk about the positive sense of religion. Uh-huh. But so Nietzsche said that now when we experience modernity and we developed our science and our knowledge and we had a, mm-hmm, good technology to provide whatever we needed in the life, then we didn't need the God anymore. God is dead. Why? Because we don't need that created image in the mind anymore.
And the system of values are changed. That's right.
So, so you see that is one perception of human being. And so when they feel that they don't need, then they get arrogance.
IRIB English Radio presents Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Answering your theological questions in Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Allahu Allah, send us your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Praise to Allah, all glory is to Allah, we worship Allah and no one but Allah.
This look is very, very much high for the people to understand that, for example, through sorrow and sadness for a tragedy like the tragedy of Karbala, at the end, the people can find salvation and prosperity. I mean, reaching prosperity through sorrow is not something tangible and objective for all the people around the world. I mean, maybe Muslims, Shia Muslims, okay, because of the stories that they have heard, because of the narrations that they have heard, it is tangible for them, Shaykh, but for most of the people, it might not be.
No. Contrary to that, I have the experience that when you want to talk about non-Muslims, especially Christianity, Christians, one of the very easy ways to make a kind of, to start, to make a bridge and to get a, in a kind of a common sense of what you believe in, Imam Hussein alayhi salam is one of the best options. Every human being who has a kind of feeling of a human being can sort of be connected to the story of Imam Hussein. They can easily find them and find sympathy with the story of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, because Imam Hussein alayhi salam is the story of human being.
Yes.
So everybody has a Hussein in himself, and there is a Yazid who is
opposing him.
Always, bullying and oppressing, and everybody wants to have the Hussein who is free. Everybody wants to have, you know, when if a person is not a mean person, they like the story of Hussein. Because the story of Abu Abdullah is the story of the freedom of human being.
Yes.
The story that I am not slave of anyone. I am greater than the demands of anyone else. So if we properly explain Karbala for people, not just make it a religious issue, then that's why in Arba'in, you see lots of people are coming from different, you know, denominations and religions.
Okay.
Why? Because they find something in the story that this is the story of a human being, especially at the modern time.
And they're not necessarily shedding tears for Imam
Al-Hussein. No, you don't need
there
to
are
shed
lessons in that tragedy that took place for Imam Al-Hussein. That's right.
Yeah, you feel human being. You know, one of the, I said that this modern civilization is very totalitarian, and it is not satisfied with you unless to get everything of you, the all aspect of you, and whatever you accept from them, they are not happy with that. They take another step forward.
Yes,
and they have to. You have to retreat, and you have to say, okay, again, I surrender to what you're demanding. You know, there was a time that I don't want to get into those dirty things that whatever. And now you see that they are promoting animality for human being, like the story of human pups. Right now, they say that there are something like 10,000 human pups in Britain only. People who live like dogs every day, some hours they live like a dog.
Yeah.
So how much,
or the surgeries that they do in order to shape themselves into animals
much,
as well.
How much, okay. And you have to spend big money. Something like you have to spend £2,000 for a week to live like a pig.
Yeah, but the good news was that recently I saw some of these footages on the social media that some people who have, for example, did plastic surgery and changed their face or ears, eyes into animals, you know, they were tired of this life. So there were some Muslim preachers who have invited to Islam. They converted to Islam. They changed the whole thing. Okay? So the good news is also can be found between all these sad news too, all around the world.
Yeah. That's another aspect that we may talk about. But I'm speaking about the point that, you see, they want to destroy the humanity inside. And lots of these people, they are just looking for a change. At least they know something.
Uh-huh.
They know something. Even that person who likes to live like an animal.
Yes.
You know, I was listening to them. They were saying that this way we are respected. Because everybody likes dogs, we want to be dogs. In a modern time that there is no mercy, this mechanical life that you have to work like a machine. That there is no sympathy, there is no kindness, there is no manhood there. I'm looking for a change. Man is tired of this lifestyle.
Uh-huh.
So they don't find the alternative.
Mm-hmm.
So because they don't know the alternatives, then they say, okay, let's try this one. Let's yes. try this. Okay. Maybe it works.
Mm-hmm.
And they when they
reach nowhere.
Yeah. Then they are again tired of that.
Yes.
So man is lost.
Yes.
And Allah says in Quran, "Inna al-khasirin al-ladina khasiru anfusahum." The losers are those who have lost their soul. So this is the problem of man in the modern time, that man has lost the soul. I have talked to so many Westerners who are old people,
yes.
that they themselves, they are very tired of this lifestyle, uh-huh. that they say old days were much better,
mm-hmm.
old days were nicer,
mm-hmm.
and but they cannot do anything. There is a hegemony. I said it's very totalitarian.
Yes. Okay.
And even those people are suffering. So they look for a change and they look for something serious. Yes. I said that. This is in the nature of man, that man, when it is, man is in happiness, man is in the state of no need and everything is okay, man is very likely to be arrogant
mm-hmm.
in such a state.
Yes.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he talks about Qarun or Korah according to the Bible, to the Torah,
yes.
Allah says, "Inna Qaruna kana min qawm Musa." Qarun was from the people of Moses alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, and he was very well off. He was very rich, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he got so rich that then he was very arrogant. "Izqala lahu qawmuhu la tafrah." Then his people told him, "Do not be joyous."
Yes.
إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْفَرِحِينَ. Allah doesn't like those who are exultant and joyous. So this being joyous doesn't mean that Allah doesn't like you to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
This kind of happiness that causes a kind of arrogance, a feeling that I am God myself. I don't need God. I don't need anything. I am the owner of everything. Mm-hmm. I am in the full control.
Self-centerism.
This selfishness.
Yes, that's right.
So the kind of, being joyous and happy, it might be likely to create such a feeling in human being. From that okay. perspective, sorrow itself is opposite to that. It makes a kind of seriousness for man yes. in what he's doing.
Okay.
This is one of the differences in, generally speaking, between being in joyous state or sorrow.
Okay, I think we have to continue our discussion when we are done with the time for this episode. Thank you very much, Sheikh Agha Mohammadi. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. Another episode. God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min labani aliyin wa husayni wa hasan.